So I'd like to thank you to all our visitors who are here, and I'd like to especially welcome my uncle, Uncle Liwaki, all the way from Fiji, Nandi. He came to be with us this morning. You all want to say hello to my uncle?
Hello.
Well, my uncle's actually a missionary in Fiji, and he's planting a church there, and you'll get to say hello to him after our church service. Is there anyone else who is here for the first time this morning? Your first time to Concord Church? I see your hand. Brother, is that Brother Kwame in the back? God bless you, brother. We'll say hello to Kwame.
How are you, Kwame?
Well, I'd like to thank you, Kwame, for coming. This is our humble little church. We worship here every Sabbath, and we most welcome you and anyone who is here for the first time. We'd like to welcome you this morning. And obviously to our members, a gracious thank you. Sorry, also to Gia's mother, Litsa, who is here with us. Good morning, Litsa. It's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed because God is here in this place, and His word will be preached this morning by the grace of God. It's my privilege to share at this humble little church that I first came to know the faith, and looking back on my journey, I honestly believe that it is through this church that I came to know Jesus Christ for myself. And so everyone here who I'm looking at, Dominic and Stuart and all of you here this morning, you've all played a part in not only my journey, but the journey of my family who is here this morning. So it is always an honor and a blessing to be able to preach the Word of God this morning. I'm actually going to share the message that I shared last week at AYC, so forgive me for those who were there, but I believe that it's a message that I'd like to share with our church this morning, and I believe that as God's Word is preached, Jesus said that He would send the Spirit to guide us into all truth. Amen. Another thing I would like to stress before I begin, as I was preparing this message, I came across a quote that is found in the book Evangelism, page 280, where Spirit of Prophecy says, "Some will be listening to the last sermon they will ever hear. And some will never again be so situated as to have the chain of truth brought before them." Now, I don't know about you, but it's a very solemn opportunity when we come to hear God's message. And so with that in mind, it is with deep burden and it is with a humility that I preach. I don't preach at you, but I'm preaching with you, because the same message that I'm preaching to you is what the Lord had directly pointed to me first. And so with that in mind, let us bow our heads before we begin. Father in heaven, it is an awesome honor and a privilege to be your spokesperson this morning. And Father, before me I see your children, your sons and daughters who have come to worship you. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will pray for your Holy Spirit. Your word says in 2 Samuel 23 verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Father, put your word in my tongue. May your Spirit speak to your people so that we may see a clearer picture of Jesus. And may we give our hearts to Him. Thank you for hearing our prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of this message, I'm also going to make an appeal. So if this message appeals to you and you feel the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning, I would invite you to accept that appeal and to respond in the appropriate way. The title of my message is, When God Calls. When God calls. If you notice in your bulletin, our theme text is Acts 26 verse 16, where Jesus said to Paul, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." You see, God is a God of purpose. Amen. Every one of us here this morning, whether we realize it or not, whether we understand it or not, but God has a purpose for your life. Just as God had a purpose for Jeremiah. When God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And I ordained you and I sanctified you a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was born, God knew Jeremiah. Isn't that an amazing thought, friends? That before you and I even were in our mother's womb, before we were even conceived, God had a purpose for our lives. And the message is entitled, When God Calls. As you see in the garden in the book of Genesis, God created man and woman to have a purposeful relationship with Him. And so the Bible says in Genesis 1:26, God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man and woman to have a relationship with Him. Isn't that right, friends? If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
But something happened in that plan, didn't it? Satan was hot on their heels. And he came through the serpent. And he came to the woman as she was by the tree. And the Bible says in those very sad verse, Genesis 3:6, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the sight, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and ate. And she also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And friends, just as soon as God had a purpose, the devil was there to match that purpose. And so we find in the garden that man and woman was evicted. But before they were evicted, they were given a promise, weren't they? They were given a promise that one day there would be a Redeemer. That one day there would be a Redeemer who would come to save them. To save them from what they had lost. And so all through the Bible, you see from Genesis, Exodus, you see all through the Bible, through the prophets, through Isaiah, through Daniel, through Jeremiah, through all of God's people, God has been calling people back to Him, hasn't He? And friends, you see that call in its truest fashion when you see Jesus walking upon the earth. Jesus came to call. He came to call His lost children back to Him. Friends, I don't know where you are this morning. Yes, you may be in church, but God's heart is reaching out to you. And so we see in the Bible that God has always been calling people. He's always raised up people to call people back to Him. And when Jesus was on earth, He often used parables to describe what the kingdom of heaven would be like. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went and sold all that he had for that pearl of great price. Jesus was in a way trying to show us the love of the Father. He wanted to show us what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like they are on a search. They are on a mission, calling people back. In one of the parables, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who prepared a wedding for his son. You read about it in Matthew 22. And so the father prepared a big wedding feast. And he calls all his friends and he gives them invitations. He says, come to my son's wedding. So they made the preparations. All the food and all the everything was in place. And so it was time for the guests to come. And so when the servants went out to call those who were invited, one by one they began to make excuses. And so the servants come back to the king. They said, look, those whom you invited, they did not want to come. Do you remember what the king answered? He said, quick, go to the highways. Go to the byways. Go and collect those that want to come. And then as he narrows down this parable, he says in Matthew 22, verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. That's what we're going to look about this morning. When God calls, we all hear that call, but why is it that when God calls, only a few are chosen? That's going to be our message this morning. When God calls, only a few are chosen. Why is that? Isn't it God's intention that everyone be saved? Isn't it God's will that everyone be saved? Amen?
Amen.
Then why does Jesus make the distinction? For many are called, but only a few are chosen. Jesus told us that one of the signs of his soon return, he said in Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. Then the end shall come." This is a calling. Jesus is coming soon. And there is a call to answer that call and to be ready when Christ comes. And that call is found in the three angels' message. Amen. In Revelation 14, that's why we exist as a church, because we have been called to prepare a message. Fear God, give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come. So before Christ comes, there is a call that is going to the world. There is a call that has been going on ever since the days of Adam in that garden. When he said, "Adam, where art thou?" It is the same call. God has been calling people. And right before Jesus comes, there is one final call. Fear God, give glory to Him. There is a call to respect and honor our true Creator. And in that call, in Revelation 14:6 through to 12, the first angel's message says, "Fear God and give glory to Him." Now I wondered, why does God say fear Him? Does He mean that we are to be scared of God? No. What do you think that means? It means to reverence Him. Isn't that right? It means to honor Him, to respect Him, to stand in awe of Him as the angels do in Revelation 4 and 5. They bow down their faces in such awe. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." You see, we might think, how boring is that? Sitting in church all morning and just saying, "Holy, holy." But friends, when you're in the presence of God, there is no other place where you'd rather be. Amen. And so they are saying with all their might, "We love to worship God." And so in the end times, there will be a people who give the message, "Fear God, give glory to Him." Now, what does it mean to fear God? Well, as you look in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, wait a minute. In the end times, there is a message to fear God. And encapsulated in that respect to fear God, the response is, when we fear God, it leads us to wisdom. Thank you, Gia, for sharing Wednesday night. We were talking about the wise and foolish virgins, right? And we were talking about there is the wise and the foolish. And in the end times, there is a message to fear God. Why? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, begs the question, what is it about wisdom that is so important to people living in the last days? What does wisdom have to do with the three angels' message? What does it mean to be wise? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee," does anyone know that verse? "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Amen? So wisdom is found through the holy scriptures as we fear God, and it leads us to salvation. Amen? So what is wisdom firstly? Wisdom is when we fear God. Why? Because when we stand in the presence of an almighty God, it leads us to give our lives to Him, and in the process we are saved. Amen. You see, the Bible is the only book where you will see salvation. Yes, you can go to college. You can study whatever you want under the sun. You can see all Bibles in bookstores, Borders, Dimmicks, whatever. But at the end of the day, there is only one book that shows you the way, the truth, and the life. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So in the last days, the message is, fear God. That really is a message of, hey, God is calling you to Him. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we find here wisdom is found through the Holy Scriptures, and that in turn, it gives us an opportunity to be saved. If that's clear, say amen, friends. But not only that, do you think God just wants you to be saved on your own? If we're sitting here this morning, well, I'm saved, doesn't matter about my family, or but at least I'm saved, is that God's ideal? Yes or no? No. So God says He wants you to be saved through the Scriptures, but then the Bible also says, Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30, but the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that wins souls is wise. So what does God say? In the end time message, He wants people to be saved, and He wants you to go out and win souls for Him. Amen? It's not enough to just be saved on your own. God wants to give you the passion to witness so that you can be a soul winner. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Whether it's God has called you to be preacher or whatever, but even in this church where you and I sit every Sabbath, you have a responsibility. God is going to look at your record and say, what have you done with the gifts that I've given to you? So what does wisdom do? What is God's intention of being wise? Because you see many people on the streets, they say, I'm wise. Or you read magazines about people who are so-called wise. In God's eyes, wisdom is found through the Bible so that you can be saved, number one. And then number two is that you could be saving others or a soul winner. Amen. My friends, I'm not sure what line of work you do. I'm not sure what your past is. But in this church, if you're a Christian and if you've accepted Jesus, the two most important things that should dominate your thinking is the salvation of yourself. That's not a selfish thing because God wants you to be saved. But only your relationship with Jesus. But then God wants to use you to reach others. Amen? That is a beautiful high calling, isn't it? That is a high calling, isn't it? Amen?
Amen?
And so God is calling us. He is calling the world. That's what the gospel commission is about. Go ye therefore. That's what it's all about. It's about going out and reaching souls for His kingdom. Amen? Amen. But friends, we don't have that much time to carry out this purpose and plan of Jesus Christ. Because if you remember the first angel's message, the message was, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. So what's that talking about? There is a time factor, isn't it? Is that right, friends? Does this mean this gospel message is just going to be proclaiming for 1,000 years and just keeps going on and on? Yes or no? No. There is coming a time when people are going to call to be saved. They're going to call to do the work that God is calling them to do now. And that time is soon going to pass. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, reading from verse 20, wisdom crieth without. Have you read that chapter? Wisdom is crying out. What type of wisdom? Wisdom so that people can understand and fear God. Wisdom that they could be saved. Wisdom that they could go out and save others. Save their mother, their uncle, their work friend. That is wisdom. God's wisdom is crying out in the streets. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places. She cries in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. What gives reproof, friends? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And so God says, wisdom cries out. Friends, whether you're in the church or not, God is calling you, turn ye at my word, which gives reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You see, God's end time message is that people are saved, people are filled with the Spirit, and people go out and share the gospel message. Amen. And so God says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Friends, do you want that in your life? Is that a desire to be filled with the Spirit? To look in the mirror and you say, you know what? I have given my life to God. I am filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is not just to jump and clap and shout. The Spirit is to witness. Amen. Forgive me for speaking at this tone. But friends, if you were listening to the last sermon you would ever hear, would you like someone to pat you on the back and say, you're doing all right, brother. You're doing just fine. Just keep comfortable in the way you're living. No! When Noah preached, do you think he said, well, if you want to come in the boat, it's fine, but it's going to get a bit wet now. Is that the way he preached? He was preaching with such fervor, and perhaps tears were rolling down his eyes, because he knew that that was their last chance. So wisdom cries out, an opportunity to be saved, an opportunity to go and win that friend of yours that God has been beckoning on your heart, but you have refused it. It says, turn ye at my reproof. Friends, it's not a good thing when God reproves you. You know, it's an ugly feeling when you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit is like an arrow just pelting your heart and you feel that rebuked. I felt this when I was preparing this sermon. Because deep down, I knew there are times when I do not live this gospel message. I thank God for prayer meeting, because I said some things to a lady. And my heart is at peace now. Because I know that there are times during this past year that God has called me for a work. And I have not obeyed that voice. And so God says, turn you at my reproof. I'll pour my spirit unto you. Just as David fell and David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. The difference between the saved and the lost is that the saved never fell, but the saved got up each time. That's why the Bible says a just man shall live fall seven times, but he gets up each time. But the solemn words of this morning, as God says in His Word, because I have called, just as He's been calling in your life, as He's been calling Adam, as He's been calling the human race, because I have called, and you refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. What does God say? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? But that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. God cannot help someone if they don't choose to be saved. God cannot work on your heart if you don't want to accept it. And so God says, because you did not choose the fear of the Lord, I will leave you to the fruit of your own ways. Many people will not be in the kingdom, not because God didn't want to choose them, but because they did not accept it. And if we're thinking that we're saved because we're sitting in church, Ellen White writes in the book, Christian Service, page 41, chapter 3, entitled, Condition Among God's Church. Listen to this statement. It is a solemn statement that I make to the church, that not one in 20 whose names are registered upon the church books are prepared to close their earthly history and would be as verily without God and without hope in this world as the common sinner. That is a very solemn statement, isn't it? When I read that, hit me right between the eyes. Just because I'm preaching to you this morning doesn't mean that I'm going to be saved. Just because my name's registered on the church books doesn't mean anything. The question is, have I surrendered to Jesus? That's what God looks at. And so God is calling, friends. He's calling for a people to be saved. And He's calling you to be a soul winner to others. And so what should the attitude of our hearts be? As we're living in this day of judgment, what should our attitude be? 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Does he say examine your friend or your church member? What does he say? Examine yourself. In other words, put yourself under the test. And your test is Jesus Christ. That is your standard. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So each day, we are to examine ourselves. As David prayed, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's how it was in the days of the Israelites, when it was the Day of Atonement, wasn't it? Was it a day of praising? Was it a day of, hey, we're all saved? Is that the way they were acting? They were fasting. They were confessing faults to one another. They were making sure that there was nothing in here that separated them and God, between them and God. That's the final hour message. So God says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make your calling sure. Ask yourself, am I really a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? Do I really believe in the message that God has given to this church? Do I really believe it? Why is it called the Acts of the Apostles? Because an act is an action. And an action is based on a belief. Peter, James, and John could have said, yeah, we believe in prayer meeting, but they didn't go. Oh, yeah, we believe in soul winning, but you go to Antioch, you go over there, but we'll just stay here in Jerusalem. No. They went out and did the work. Amen? Amen. And so for you and I, and this sermon applies to me particularly, we have a decision, an opportunity to decide to be saved and to save others. Everything in your life should revolve around those two aspects: your relationship with Christ and saving others for God's kingdom. That's what will only matter when Jesus returns. Because when Jesus returns, the Bible says that this earth is going to be made new. That house that you love so much is going to go up in flames. That degree that you have on the wall, it's going to burn as well. But one thing that is going to sustain throughout eternal ages is you in the kingdom. And when you look to the right, there is someone there because of you. Amen. Amen. I remember when I started Cole Porter Ministry, and the reason that I started doing it is because in that little book, right in halfway, there was a picture. There was a man, an old man with his rake. And he was raking his garden. There was a young man in a suit showing him a book. And the next picture, right on the other side, they are both in the kingdom of heaven. They both got white robes on. And that same old man has got his hand on that young man's back. And to me, that just encapsulated what soul winning is all about. You don't know what you're going to do here on earth. Some are calling you to be preachers, I don't know what it is, but I believe now that God is calling this church to be faithful in the little things. So that when you get to heaven, you'll see this young man walking down to you, you'll see that old lady that you've been praying for, and then you say to Jesus, who is that lady? And Jesus says, don't you know who that is? That's Mary. Do you remember you went to her door? Do you remember you helped her by the side? She had a flat tire. Do you remember that you served her dinner one night out in the streets? Remember you saw her in Africa? And then your tears will start to cry. That's what I'm looking forward to. How about you, friends? There is nothing greater in this life than, number one, surrendering your heart to Jesus. And even greater than that, if I could say it that way, is that when you look at someone and they have accepted Jesus because you were an open vessel for God to use. Amen? We're going to sing our hymn now. But Leah, if you could just play the piano, I'm going to make an appeal. I know we don't make appeals very much in church, but I feel impressed, as it says in the book of evangelism. Some will be listening to the last sermon they will ever hear. This may be the last time you ever hear me preach. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. We only have today. And as Joshua said to the children of Israel, Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Friends, we sang that hymn earlier, but I want to ask you right now, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? I'm going to make a call this now. Now I'm going to give the opportunity before we get up and sing. Is there anyone here this morning, as you listen to the message, and you know that it is not well with your soul? You know that you've fallen. You know that you need help. And God says, why don't you make this opportunity? Take advantage. I want you to make a recommitment to me. If that is you, I'd invite you at this moment to just stand where you are. We're going to pray for you. Amen. Sister in the back. Amen. Is there someone else here who would like to say, I've heard this message, William, and I want to be saved. I want to be certain that I'm saved. Amen. Now, this has been impressing upon my heart. I believe it's on the heart of every believer who preaches. There are some people here this morning. You have resisted the call to baptism. One of the requirements of God's kingdom. He says, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If you have not been baptized, the Spirit of God is speaking to you. I want to invite you to the front and we're going to sing. If you have not been baptized and you know you need to be, and you come to the front saying, Lord, I've been delaying this decision, I would like to confirm that this morning. I want to be ready, Lord. Is there anyone here? Amen, Megan. Takes a lot of courage to come to the front, but at the end of the day, you're not here to impress people, you're not here to impress your family, you are here to please God. Amen? Amen. Who else will stand with this young lady and say to Jesus this morning, Lord, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but you give me this decision today. Is there anyone? And those who have been baptized, now is a good time to be praying. I'm asking the Lord to move on people's hearts. Is there anyone before we close this service? I'm also going to make one more appeal. There are some people here who you've been members for a while. You come to church every week, but you know that deep down you're spiritually dying and you would like perhaps Bible studies. You would like Bible studies so that you can maintain your relationship. Is there anyone here this morning who says, Lord, you know, I need that encouragement once again. I've lost my first love and I want to come back to you, Lord. I want to start Bible studies. Is there anyone here who will say to the Lord, Lord, I would like to continue my Bible studies. Amen. Forgive me for this appeal, but the burden is very strong because what really God was saying to me was, William, there's an opportunity for you to be a soul winner. There's an opportunity for you to be in my grace. And and we should never pass that opportunity. Amen. Take care of your